Good morning, SJCAC, and good afternoon, New Vine families. It's so good to be with you online again on Sunday, worshiping the Lord together. Thank you so much for joining us. And I hope that you were able to join us last week during our Holy Week events as we went through Holy Week together, culminating on Jesus' ultimate sacrifice on the cross on Good Friday, and then celebrating his triumphant victory over the grave on Sunday. And it was so good to see so many of you out at the basketball court here at SJCAC for our outdoor Resurrection Sunday service. And it was so good to also be back at Mountain View Academy with our New Vine family, just rejoicing and celebrating the Lord's resurrection. It was such a wonderful time. My heart was so full after we were able to worship and regather in person for many of us. And I know that even for our kids on Monday, they were actually quite well behaved. And I think mentally, they were just so happy to be able to see their church friends or some of their church friends again. So I want to spend some time with you today going over a brief portion of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. But before I do, I want to reflect on the past year and how the Lord has actually led us through this pandemic. You know, it was back in March of 2020 during our Deeper Life Conference weekend that we were all able to be in person as a church body. Remember our speaker, Kelvin Walker, and then the awesome Simpson University Chorale? It was just so good to be together. But then little did we know that we wouldn't be able to gather in person for well over a year. And then right after that, we had to shelter in place the following week. And within a very short period of time, things changed really quickly. We had to pivot in a way that we did things unexpectedly. You know, working from home, being on virtual meetings throughout the day, being Zoomed out by the end of the day, learning how to learn remotely for our kids, and being on the screen every day for our kids. You know, my kids now know more shortcuts than I do on the computer, so I'm really impressed with their computer skills. And even as a church, learning how to be a church together, learning how to do community remotely, how to record, how to edit and prepare for our Sunday online gatherings, speaking into a camera without a live congregation, and even our small groups going virtual, our prayer gatherings going virtual. And I know that some groups have even upped the times that they meet, the frequency, and it's actually been very, very special time together, even online, wearing a face covering and learning how to socially distance from each other, hunting for toilet paper, and even discovering that meat was sold in limited quantities at Costco. You know, we all had to change, and we all had to adapt to this new normal for the past 13 months. And now, as there are fewer COVID cases and fewer hospitalizations around the county, and as our county starts to slowly reopen, you know, I know Governor Newsom has set a target date of June 15th for the whole state reopening. You know, as more and more vaccines getting rolled out, and as more and more of us get the appointments and actually receive the vaccine, where do we go from here? How do we come out of the past 13 months of sheltering in place? Something that we're so used to, being in isolation, being separate, being apart. How do we interact again socially with each other? How do we unlearn some of the bad habits that we may have picked up over the past year? I'm not talking about you wearing PJs on the bottom and a shirt on top, but you know, maybe some of us have been sleeping in too much. Maybe we're not getting prepared for our mornings as we normally do. And really, how as a church do we regather again? Do we simply just go back to the old ways of doing things just because we're so used to doing those same things? Or has God been teaching us certain truths about himself, about his church, during this past year? And perhaps, what is it that God may want us to do as a church family that may be a little different and not be stuck with the old way of doing things just because? I want to go now to Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 to 17. So let's read God's word together. Verse 14. Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Verse 17. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. You know, this passage begins with John's disciples asking Jesus why Jesus' disciples weren't fasting when they, John's disciples, and the Pharisees fasted quite a bit. You know, in those days, serious religious folks frequently fasted, but for some reason, Jesus' disciples freely ate and drank. And so now John's disciples were asking Jesus, why is that? Now, Jesus wasn't opposed to fasting, and he actually answered, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast, what we just read in verse 15. Now, Jesus tells John's disciples that there is a time for everything. The Jewish people oftentimes linked fasting to mourning, but a wedding celebration isn't a time for mourning. It isn't a time for denying oneself, but it's a time and a cause for celebrating. Jesus promises that the time of mourning will come, but that time wasn't then. Now then Jesus goes into a couple of parables in verses 16 to 17, where he talks about a piece of unshrunk cloth. He says, no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skin bursts and the wine is spilled and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. Now, both of these simple parables were based on behaviors that were very commonplace in the Jewish culture. People knew not to patch an old garment with a new piece from a new garment because doing so would really ruin both of these pieces of material. And in ancient times, people would make wine through fermentation or the process of aging wine. And in Jesus' days, people used animal skins from a goat or a lamb for storing these liquids, for storing wine. Now, these unused wine skins would be sewn together at the edges to form a watertight bag, and then they were filled with unfermented grape juice and left to age for a period of time. Now, during that time, when the grape juice was in these wineskins, gases would be formed and within the wineskin, and the flavor, the color, and the balance of the wine would grow until it was ready to be consumed. But since the wineskin was new, it could expand, it could stretch as the wine and the gases were being fermented inside. And it was not wise, it was not good to reuse a wineskin after it was already empty because the old wineskin had already lost its ability to stretch. Now, the gases that were forming in the new wine would cause the old skin to burst if the new wine was poured into the old wineskin, losing both the new wine and the old wineskin. What Jesus was saying is new wine requires new wineskins. As the wine expands, the new skins would stretch to accommodate it. Now, Jesus' point was fairly clear. He was bringing a new wine, a new message, a new hope and reality to the Jewish people. But it was so revolutionary, so countercultural to the Jewish establishment and to the message that the Pharisees and the other Jewish teachers were so focused on the interpretation and the application of the Judaic laws and the Mosaic laws. You know, Jesus talked about turning the other cheek. He talked about loving your enemies. He talked about praying for those who persecuted you. He healed on the Sabbath. All of Jesus' teachings were so different from the ways the Jewish authorities and leaders of that day were used to. Now, Jesus was saying also that the new wine of the new covenant can't be kept within the rigid forms of the traditions of the law, of the traditions of Judaism. It needed to be flexible. It needed to have a form that allows the Holy Spirit to expand and move. The old wineskins had been stretched to their limit and could not hold the new wine of the message that Jesus was bringing about God and his kingdom and how God was doing a new thing through Jesus coming to this earth. Now, when you think about old wineskins, you think about things that perhaps may be old, maybe rigid, maybe old traditions, maybe things that are familiar, things that are comfortable, perhaps stiff structures and rigid patterns that have become more important than perhaps the gospel itself. But when new wine is poured into these old wineskins, these wineskins actually burst because they can no longer expand because they're so set in their ways, and they waste both the new wine that it's being poured and the wineskin itself. Now, when you think about new wineskins are pliable, they're flexible, they're willing to be stretched and willing to receive a fresh wine, a new wine. And as the new wine is being poured, it ferments, the gases form, the juices, the flavors, the tannins, everything. A new wine is formed, and it is eventually poured out and enjoyed. Now, I'm not going to ask you who likes to drink wine. I know some of you probably do, and that's great. You know, wine is, in the old days and even now, is meant for our enjoyment. But when you think about wine and wineskins, you know, there's a newness that the Lord is trying to do in our midst. There's a new wine that he's trying to pour in our lives, in our church, in our families, in our communities. But really, the question I want to ask you today, what kind of a wineskin do you and I have? What kind of a wineskin is available today? Am I holding out to the Lord? We've gone through this pandemic season well over a year. Has that wineskin changed? Has that wineskin been set on tradition? Has that wineskin grown old and maybe a little fickle and perhaps crumbling? What is the condition of your wineskin today? You know, over a year ago, back in March, when we first entered the pandemic season, I preached from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, where God is saying, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Now, I was encouraging you that even as we were going through the start of this pandemic, that God was still doing a new thing in our midst. And I was encouraging us to ask the Lord to show us the new things that he was doing. And even now, as we're well over a year into the pandemic, as we're emerging out of this pandemic, God is still desiring to do a new thing among us. God is always at work in our midst. But as the Lord is desiring to do this new thing, as the Lord is desiring to pour a new wine into us, what is the condition of our hearts? What is the condition of our wineskins, the containers, as the Lord pours this new wine into us? You know, he desires to pour this new thing, this new wine into us, to blend something beautiful, to make something beautiful that is tasty, that is delicious, that is fragrant, that is a vintage classic wine. But even as God works among us, how are we emerging out of this season that God is calling us into? Is there a shift that perhaps needs to happen? Do we need to get rid of some habits that have been formed over the past 13 months? Maybe perhaps we need to wake up again earlier. Maybe perhaps we need to get ready earlier. Maybe perhaps we need to do away with our binging on the internet, our binging on Netflix. What kind of a wineskin do we have? Do we need to shed anything that is old, anything that is rigid? Are we holding on to certain traditions, even in our families or even within the church, or ways of doing things just because, not because there's necessarily a value or because there's a meaning, but because we've been doing it for so long that we just enjoy, it's comfortable, it's convenient, we just continue holding on to those things? Do we need to retire an old wineskin? And do we need to start afresh with a new wineskin? Perhaps in our own lives. Perhaps in our own families, even within the church. You know, even the way we do church, the way we gather, the way our small group gathers, the way we do youth ministry, the way we do kids' church, the way we do our children's ministry. Is there something that God is doing that may be something new? And are we willing to welcome? Are we willing to embrace? Are we willing to say, yes, Lord, I want to welcome that new wine. I want to welcome that paradigm shift. Or are we just going to say, okay, 13 months later, we're going back to normal. We're going back, you know, hallelujah, everything's great. Everything's reopening. By June 15th, the governor said so. We're going back to the same ways that we did things before. Perhaps the Lord has been using the last 13 months to teach us things to implement for this new season, even as we emerge out of this pandemic. Perhaps God has given us a new perspective, a new paradigm shift, a new way of doing things, a new way of relating to each other, a new way of parenting, a new way of relating to our family, to our neighbors, to each other, to our church body, to our community. What is that new thing that God is doing? Will you allow him to stretch you? Will you allow him to speak into your life, to your exact situation, to say, you know, will you give him permission to say, yes, Lord, I am open to this newness, to this new wine that you desire to pour into my life, that you desire to pour into our church. I'm open to new ideas. I'm open to a new perspective. I'm open to the leading of your Holy Spirit, that whatever ministry I was involved with, maybe it won't look the same, but whatever it is that you're leading, God, would you lead me? Would you guide me because of this new beginning that you are giving us, that you are leading us into? Perhaps, again, there may be some things that we need to shed, some things that we need to let go of so that this new wine can be poured into us. Because if we don't let go, then as the new wine is being poured and we still have an old wineskin, it's going to burst. It's going to waste the wine. It's going to waste the old wineskin. And we're just going to have spilled juice on the floor with the mess to mop up. We really don't want the old wineskin to burst and to lose the newness that God is pouring into our lives. So brothers and sisters, I want to ask you as we take a moment to pause and reflect. I know it's been a challenging year for all of us, but praise the Lord, things are shifting. Praise the Lord, numbers are going, positive cases are going down, hospitalizations are going down, vaccines are rolling out. The Lord is really showing us that he is in control, that he is regathering us in his time. But even as we regather, I want to ask you to reflect. How is your wineskin? Is it falling apart? Is it old? Is it cracked? If it is, maybe you need to ask the Lord for a fresh new wineskin, to receive the new things, to receive the new wine that God is desiring to pour into your life and into mine. Just want to take a moment to pause and reflect on your wineskin, and that you would ask the Lord to do a new thing in your life in this new season. Join with me as we close in prayer right now. God, we thank you for this passage from the book of Matthew. Thank you, Jesus, for reminding us, Lord, that you desire to pour new wine into new wineskins. And God, even as we gather here today, Lord, even as we come before you with our hearts open to you, would you examine our wineskins? Would you examine the wineskins of our lives? Would you examine the wineskins of our church? Would you examine the wineskins of our family? And Father, would you show us, Lord, the areas that may be old or torn or cracked or falling apart? And Lord, would you exchange our old wineskin for a new wineskin from you, for a new wineskin that is malleable, that is pliable, that is flexible. Lord, that we would receive all the newness, all the new stuff, all the new wine, all the new things that you desire to pour into our lives, into our families, and into our church. God, we ask, Lord, that even as we reflect, Lord, that you would show us areas of rigidity. You would show us areas of stubbornness. You would show us and reveal to us areas that we need to shed, that we need to let go of, that we need to say no to, so that, Jesus, we can receive the fullness that you have in store for us. God, we ask, Lord, that you would help us to shed and to do away with the things that are from myself, Lord, the things of my pride, the things, Lord, that I am concerned about, Lord, that you would give us, Lord, your perspective, that you would give us your paradigm, Lord, for the newness and the new things that you desire to do in us. God, give us a new wineskin so that we may receive the new wine that you pour into us in this new season that you are leading into us. Show us, Lord, as a church, what that would look like. Show us, Lord, as a church community, how to be new wineskins and how to receive your new wine. So that, Jesus, as you ferment us, so that, Jesus, as you savor us, Lord, that we would be a fragrant offering, a fragrant wine, Lord, for you. Lord, that the fragrance of Christ would rest upon each and every one of us now. So, Jesus, fill us now. Give us, Lord, a new perspective so that we can look forward to the new things that you are doing in our midst. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. I invite you to close with us as we end with this response song. And then don't forget to join us on our Zoom right after to share, reflect, and pray together. Thanks, and God bless you.
How precious is your